I guess I'm going to cue the sleigh bells and just start. You ready?
Yo.
Word, can I get a ho, 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 Santa?
Ho, 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 ho.
Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, listeners in Chicago and around the world, Windy City citizens and surrounding suburbanites, tech-savvy millennials, and baby-booming Luddites, welcome to yet another very special The Game Show Show and Stuff.
Merry Christmas. Welcome to the Christmas episode of The Game Show Show and Stuff. You know, a lot of people might say that the third episode of the season is a little early to be getting into special episodes.
Maybe.
But not us.
Nope.
Nope.
It's always special Santa. Around here. I'm Santa, and today I'm with Johnny and Jimmy. Jimmy?
Hi, Santa!
How have you been this year? Have you been a good boy?
I've tried really hard, Santa.
Have you done well in school?
I did okay. I mean, I got 2 A's, I think.
Okay, well, 2 A's isn't a ton of A's. I mean, it's only two. So.
I mean, out of 8 classes, that's like, what, 50%? I don't know. Math isn't my strong suit.
One of those A's wasn't in multiplication or percentages.
No. I've tried really hard at the multiplication thing, too. It's just not a lot of the girls at school like talking to me.
And you didn't get an A in jokes either, did you?
Fuck you, Santa Claus. You fat bitch. When was the last time you came to my crib, Santa?
Have you been a good boy to everyone you've met? Have you behaved yourself?
Oh yeah, I'm always nice to everybody, Santa.
To a fault?
My cool. Yeah, I'm a saint. I'm so patient and perseverant. Is that a word?
And what would you like for Christmas this year, Jimmy?
Oh, just like 5 minutes of quiet.
We don't make that in the North Pole.
Oh, okay. Well,
what about rollerblades?
Yeah.
We've got a whole warehouse of rollerblades from the 90s.
Oh, the colors. Oh, the teal and magenta.
Do you have any goals for 2021?
Yeah, 5 minutes of quiet. Yes. And I don't know. Just trying to focus more on the joy in life than all of the other stuff that has so many horrible names. I mean, there's pain, suffering, catastrophe, disaster, death, sickness, illness,
rabies,
poison,
Ebola,
insanity,
racism,
Ebola. What a mess.
Oh, Ebola.
Remember when Ebola was around, guys? That was like the best.
Flesh-eating viruses were hilarious.
I mean, remember when we kept diseases like that from reaching the populations of the cities of America? Remember
That's
when we were
right.
able to do that, guys?
That's right.
It was amazing.
It seems like maybe from where I'm sitting in the North Pole, maybe American exceptionalism hasn't done well this year.
Not so much. It's been a bad year for American exceptionalism. American exceptionalism has been bad.
And how about you, Johnny?
I have been very good, Santa, yes.
Oh, and what is the best thing you've done this year, Johnny?
The best thing I did was to help people get jobs.
Oh, excellent. And have you been saving money this year?
I have, Santa, yes. I've saved quite a bit of money.
Have you been behaving yourself?
I have not behaved myself at all, Santa.
Have you been vandalizing other people's homes?
I vandalized a girl's butthole.
Oh. Was she hoping that you would?
She consented. So.
Oh, yes. Excellent. A consenting butthole for Christmas.
Ew.
Excellent. And Johnny, what would you
do wants under the Christmas tree?
A consenting butthole. It's also the name of my favorite Hallmark Christmas movie. A consenting Christmas butthole. It's about a high-powered marketing executive who has to go back to her hometown to save the buttholes by offering her own butthole. She has to save the town glory hole
by offering something they've never had before.
That's right.
Oh man, I'm so glad my mom doesn't listen.
Oh, that's funny.
All right, well, I'm off back to the North Pole. I've got to get ready for Christmas Eve.
All right, Santa, have a safe trip.
Thank you so much.
We love you, Santa.
Love you too. Hopefully, Andy will be back soon.
Hopefully. Although we'd rather just have you. Screw Andy.
Yeah, yes.
Come on, Santa, stick around.
For Christmas, let's all fuck Andy.
At least you can take a joke, Santa.
All right. Well, Merry Christmas.
Bye, Santa.
Bye, Santa.
There he goes. Riding off into the sunset.
Wow.
Wow. That was a lot of fun.
It's nice to get a visit from Santa. I know he doesn't have a lot of time these days, so it's nice that he was able to spend a little time with us.
Yeah. Wow. Oh. It's like he's having some problems in traffic up there.
Uh-oh.
It's got to be hard to get clearance for a sleigh with 8 tiny reindeer.
Hey!
Hey!
Andy's back.
Hey, Anderson. You just missed it, Andy.
What'd I miss?
Santa was just here.
Santa what? Was here.
He was?
Yeah.
Yeah.
You didn't see him?
He asked us what we wanted for Christmas, and he agreed that consent was really important, especially when dealing with someone's butthole.
Yes, anal consent, the name of my cop movie.
Okay, yeah, there you go. Yo, we got a lot of good episode names and film names. I was even thinking maybe like the punk rock band name.
Oh yeah.
Oh, that's a good one.
That's a good one.
Metal band.
Yeah.
But anyway, so Santa just
he wished us well and he asked us what we wanted for Christmas. And yeah, it was really nice to see him.
Well, that's great. So the show got started without me, which isn't a big deal. But maybe we should move right on to Chaka Khan.
Yes, Chaka, Chaka, Chaka Khan. The time on the show when you absolutely, positively have to, got to tell me something good. Tell me something good. I was so excited by Santa Claus. I didn't have a chance to get all my stuff together. That's why I'm not going to get what I want for Christmas. But anyway, guys, you know, the earth is burning, America is crumbling, and our neighborhoods are a war zone. But during this segment, these are the rules. No bitching, no moaning, no complaining, no kvetching, no weeping, no wailing, no fussing, no fighting, no griping, groaning, growling, grumbling, or grousing, no criticism, cynicism, vitriol, or politics, no venting, no descending, no belly aching, no moping, no trifling, and no dumping. And that's how you play Chaka Khan.
People love it.
They do.
Yeah,
I do.
I do too.
One of my favorite things. I think about it all week long. It helps me not only focus on positive stuff,
but then it also keeps the amazing pop music of Rufus and Chaka Khan constantly in my soundtrack. That song is like always in my brain loop. So that's a good thing.
So you're just grooving down the street in your Sanford truck.
Right? Yeah. And like, if you know, sometimes if I go, like today I went to the Walgreens to get my prescription antibiotic eye drop for my newly surgically repaired eyeball, ladies and gentlemen. The miracles of modern medicine have actually made it so that 2020 is the year that I got nearly perfect vision.
2020 for 2020. Hey-o!
Are you feeling, can you see, is it like a whole different universe for you?
Oh, yeah.
That's amazing.
Because you were like damn near blind.
Well, you know, it went from this eye, my left eye, clouding gradually over the course of a long time and me trying to kind of like organically deal with it. I started eating more broccoli and carrots and taking lysine to supplement it. Yeah, and when I went to the eye guy,
like, I was like, if you broke your leg, Jazz would be like, we got some Epsom salt in the bathroom.
And here's a gallon of milk.
My goddamn leg is broken.
I'm gonna start this milk drip. And just sit here for a couple weeks and I'll be fine. Yeah, no, look, when I went to the ophthalmologist and I started telling that, and I was like, yeah, as soon as it started to go bad, I started it, and he was just like shaking his head. He was like, yeah, no.
Yeah.
So anyway, so you know, I was supposed to have my surgery in March, and then it was foregone due to COVID-19. Mm-hmm. Couldn't have it until July. So I had already, I think we kind of talked about this recently even, but like I'd already kind of postponed it too long. Then I had to wait even longer. So, I mean, the whole left half of my head felt like it was 10 feet behind the right half of my head for a year.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Wow. Like, it's bizarre. So then when I got this eye fixed, this one was like, I quit because it had been doing the heavy lifting for so long. And yeah, so I got that one fixed. And
now, you know how you can tell? Because Jack can hold everything like this close to his face. To see it. Yeah. Be like, Chaz, can you measure that for me? He'd be like, it's.
That's funny because it's true.
Why are you looking at that so close?
Yo, no, man, reason. Can I tell you?
Yeah. Yeah. He'd be legit? Like, he'd be like, I'm just reading the paper.
Like, hey, what's the weather supposed to be tomorrow? Hold on, let me look it up on the weather channel. Anyway,
oh, man.
So
that's awesome.
What I was gonna say though is I'm glad you guys are laughing at me because it means that you'll probably go blind too.
Oh yeah,
because sure. My buddy Ron Barnes, the guy who he's got that hip hop fusion funk band called Contraband, right? Contribution Band. I think I played some shit on the show a while back. But anyway, and he and I have been like, you know, playing around with music and stuff, but he's got bad eyes, and I always used to fuck with him at work because we would have these little devices very similar to the size of a cell phone with a little stylus, and we would use it to, like, you know, scan the student's ID to give them passes or detentions or look up their schedule or where, you know, if they were lost, you know, these, they were called
a job that any robot could do.
Yeah, a job any robot could do, but they hired a person, you know, I'm like the guy in the droid suit.
Right.
But anyway, so he always used to have to like look at the thing all up close and I would make fun of him and I would hold the thing up to my face and I probably made myself blind either just through karma or through doing the bit. And so, you know, fuck me. I deserve it, fucking asshole.
You also be lucky that nobody came up and, like, hit you in the hand and made your phone hit your face.
Oh, yeah. It's the old, your hand is the size of your face joke.
Yeah, you have cancer if your hand's as big as your face.
Like, yep. Science is correct.
You broke so my first, nose.
So first so you're you worried about cancer. Yeah, first you're very worried about, like, holy shit, and then somebody smacks you in the face.
I better check
and
right now.
It still doesn't solve the cancer exactly. Problem.
Yeah.
Oh man, it's funny because it's true. So anyway, so that's not actually my Shaka Khan, but that was a fun story to talk about. No, my Shaka Khan is that I found my wallet in the house that had been evading me for about a week.
Oh, good.
So. That's my Shaka Khan.
Well, I'll go. I, you know, have my nephew Robbie, who's been on the show for 10 years, probably, right?
Yeah. He's a regular.
He's a regular. Well, Robbie and I, one of our bonds, as he gets older, is, you know, he gets less and less interested in talking to any of us, you know?
Oh, yeah.
And so now he's 16 and he's like, just wants everybody to leave him the fuck alone.
Wow.
You know?
It's so cute, isn't it?
But so one of the things we do is we like swap YouTube videos, you know? I'll be like, hey, watch this. And one of the ones that we always watch is called Hot Ones.
Okay.
And it's this guy eats hot sauce with celebrities.
Yeah.
You know? Well, they just made a game called Truth or Dab, which is and it comes with a bottle of their hottest hot sauce. It's like 7 million Scovilles or something.
Jesus Christ.
Doink.
Yeah. So I got him this game, and Christmas night, we're going to play Truth or Dab, and I'm probably going to burn my fucking mouth off.
I can't wait.
You're not
going to
sleep that night, man. You're going to be fucking hurting.
But it's weird to try to find things. You know, he's not my kid.
You're going to be doing the milk drip. You're going to be doing the milk drip, but it's going to be on your ass.
I'm going to be like,
yep.
Milk everywhere.
Why did I do this?
You're a fucking puss, bro.
I hate you, Robbie.
But it's, you know, he's not my kid, so it's not like I see him every day or he even has a reason to fucking talk to me. So I'm like just trying to. I always remember when I was 16, having an uncle like stay in your life was something you always tried to avoid because they always wanted to like make you come over and lift heavy shit in the garage or something. You know? Anytime your uncle called you when you were 16, you're like, holy fuck, I'm going to have to go like change someone's tire or shovel someone's fucking driveway or mow someone's lawn or some bullshit, you know? So I'm trying to be cool uncle, but we'll see.
That's a good plan.
Okay.
Sure. It's always a good idea to find ways you can embarrass yourself in front of the kid.
Right. Yeah. Like, you know, I don't know if you knew, but I took Robbie to his first haunted house this year.
Nice.
Really?
That's cool.
Yeah.
Did you have a good time or was he all aloof?
He was really scared, but he also took about 10,000 Instagram pictures. So I was like, oh, he must be having sort of fun.
Yeah.
Right.
He's posting a bunch of shit on Instagram.
Which
maybe he
now
was writing a lot. Maybe he was writing like, my retard uncle keeps taking me to haunted houses in the suburbs, you know. But I don't think so.
Probably not.
All right, so that's my Chaka Khan. How about you, Johnny?
Nice. I got a couple things. Recommendations. Nice. Whitney Cummings podcast is really fun to listen to. What is it called? It's Good For You. And it's fun. It's fun to listen to. She's got great guests, all like comics and actors and things like that are fun to listen to. I like her style. I like her conversational style. She's interesting to listen to. And let's see. What else? Yes. And I am very thankful for... the fact that we have a vaccine that is now being distributed in the U.S. and hopefully we have some kind of conclusion to this fucking bullshit that we're going through.
I made a prediction today when I was at a meeting with somebody on the phone, and my prediction was that we will be finally thinking about not wearing masks everywhere we go by August.
Maybe.
Okay.
What do you think about that?
Sounds, as long as the rollout works.
He said May. I was like, May seems too soon for that.
Yeah, no, I doubt it.
Yeah, I'd say.
I doubt it, man.
I'd say farther than nearer, just because the fact that we can't predict the rollout of and the distribution. So.
Yeah, yeah, they fucked up.
Yeah,
I'm sorry. I don't mean to like. I don't want to like step on your Shaka Khan. Oh no.
We'll talk about it after Shaka Khan. How about that?
Okay.
That's the rule,
fair enough,
motherfucker.
Fair enough. I like it.
Well, I had one more recommendation. You know who this George Clooney character is?
Yeah, I've heard of him.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
So he did this interview on Stern this week, on Howard Stern. And, you know, George Clooney has this like reputation of being like a prankster.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he pranks his buddies. And I hadn't heard of one of the pranks he did, but, you know, like, when Paul Newman and Robert Redford used to prank each other, you know, one of the famous ones that they did was like, Paul Newman bought Robert Redford a Porsche and sent it to his house, you know?
Okay.
And it had a big bow on it and everything. And then he immediately sent like a demolition truck to come and destroy it on his,
oh my his
driveway.
God.
And I thought, that is fucking beautiful. That is a real rich guy, hilarious thing to do, you know?
That's really evil.
And I was like, well, they're going to be that kind of like, you know, like rich white guy kind of pranks, you know?
Okay, great.
But Clooney told some pranks, stories of shit that he did that are so dark and so fucking weird. I'll share a couple with you just so it's like a 3-hour interview. So I'll just tell you a couple of them. One of them was when they were doing Ocean's 11, he printed out a bumper sticker in the shape of a marijuana leaf and wrote "fuck cops" on it, and then put it on the back, put it on the back of Brad Pitt's car.
That's really good.
And he said he drove around for a week until he got pulled over, and he never looked at the back of his car. You know? Nobody looks at the back of their car.
Barely ever.
He also said he did one where he wrote "I love cock" on a license plate. Like he had license plates made that said "I love cock" and put them on the back of guys' cars too.
Jesus.
But there's two that really stand out as just completely fucking diabolical, you know?
These aren't diabolical enough?
No. Wow. Those are like fun, kind of like fun with your buds kind of prank. Okay.
I guess, except you're getting them pulled over by the police. that's like major life tampering.
Get him fucking tased.
I know, we get Brad Pitt tased.
Oh my god! Right, that's the story. So what happens when Brad Pitt gets pulled over, manhandled, brutalized, and killed? And then at the press conference, George Clooney's like,
"It was a joke.
Gotcha.
It was
a joke."
Oh, see, that's white privilege for you right there.
That is white privilege for sure. So the second best one is Matt Damon was staying at his house in Italy. And he was trying to lose weight for a movie, for one of the Bourne movies. And George Clooney hired a tailor to come into his house every other day and take in every pair of his pants by an eighth of an inch.
God. That's
so he kept being like, I don't understand it. He said the last time he brought it in like a whole inch. So he was trying to put his pants on and he couldn't fucking figure out why they wouldn't go on.
That's awesome.
And he was like, by that time all he was eating was like lettuce and grapes and I couldn't fucking let the guy die. So I had to tell him.
Oh my god. Oh wow. That's
but the best right there. The best one he ever did was his best friend is Richard Kind.
Oh yeah.
You know who Richard Kind is?
Okay.
The guy who talks like this.
Oh yeah.
Very weird guy who you would think.
He was on Spin City for a long time.
Yeah.
Ah, there you go.
Right? So when George was a young unemployed actor, he was living on Richard Kind's couch, and Richard Kind was on the Carol Burnett show. And he got a new kitten, and George was home all day with his kitten. And in their little one bedroom apartment, the cat litter box was right next to the bathroom, right? Or right next to the toilet. So every day he wasn't working, so he'd go in there and he'd scoop up the cat shit and throw it out, right?
Huh.
Well, then Richard was like, I don't think my cat has gone to the bathroom since I've had it. And he got super concerned about the cat not going to the bathroom, you know? And so George just kept taking it out and not telling him. And so he ended up taking the cat to the vet to get Metamucil for cats, you know, just get the cat to shit. And the cat still wouldn't go, you know, or he was going.
Right, right.
And more than usual. And he was just scooping it out all the time.
Oh, no. Oh my God.
So Richard takes the cat and he's like, does he feel like stopped up to you? Does it feel like his tummy is hard? You know, like squeezing the cat, trying to figure out what's going on. So one day he scoops it out, and then he takes a human dump in the cat.
That's good shit. Oh, that's good.
And he said Richard came home and like just walked in the bathroom and was like, oh my God.
And he did his best like concierge in a pinch moment. Ooh, well.
I bet you that shit was as big as the cat.
We need housekeeping.
Yeah, as big as the cat. That's right. As big as the cat.
Yeah, because George Clooney is notoriously a very large shitter.
Yeah, everyone knows.
Everyone knows.
I saw that. I don't read Variety much, but I remember that article.
He was saying that was the first story he ever told once he got famous on a talk show. And he was riding back with his publicist, and his publicist was like, that was your very first talk show appearance, and you talked about taking a shit in the cat box.
And that's how he got the Roseanne gig.
Yep.
There you go.
There it is. Anyway, George Clooney's interview on Stern is really fucking very good. Interesting guy.
Nice.
All right, there you go. That's Chaka Khan, everybody.
That's hot.
Chaka Khan! Yeah, man, Chaka Khan needs to have a versus against anybody. And Chaka Khan is the fucking woman.
Yeah.
I would put Chaka Khan against any other
recording.
Chaka Khan has to be 80 years old by now, right?
She's probably pretty close. You know, 70s, I'd imagine.
So you can't have her go do a versus against like Method Man.
That would be awesome.
That's what we need. We should put that out there. Chaka Khan versus Method Man. I've seen all these other. There's been all these weird. You know, people are all suggesting theirs now. They're like Earth, Wind, and Fire versus Isley Brothers. And I'm like, oh, that's pretty good. That's pretty good. But yeah, I keep thinking like I just want like some random shit like Eminem versus Liberace.
Yeah.
Who had more number one hits? Who had better outfits? Shit. I think it might have been Liberace.
Lil Baby versus Neil Diamond.
Actually, you know the one that would be good is Neil Diamond, Barry Manilow. Ooh. I always associate those two cats because those are the records that I see the most in the thrift store record bin. It's always like, hella Neil Diamond.
Here comes the Manilow.
Here comes the Barry Manilow. Where's Crystal Gayle? Where's Linda Ronstadt? Oh, there they are. Where's Babs? Oh, here comes Streisand, y'all. Yep. You know, there's like a lot of, you know, there's people who made billions of records in the 70s and 80s. And they're all
from some dead person's house.
Yeah. Conway Twitty.
Conway Twitty versus Raekwon the Chef.
Tom Jones versus Blueface.
Ah. Oh, wow. Those are good.
These all sound good.
Good stuff.
Someone who's not even a singer, like Travis Tritt versus Kim Jong. What are they versus each other in?
They're throwing bags.
Yeah, bags.
Oh my god, that's funny shit.
Dude, if I saw it on TV, Celebrity Cornhole, I would not be surprised at all.
It's probably going to happen, yeah.
If they were like, Jane Lynch hosts Celebrity Cornhole. It was all people just as fucking famous as like Kim Jong, you know?
Yeah.
They were like Brandy and Kim Jong versus Travis Tritt and Aaron Neville. Like, who cares? Must see TV.
Yeah.
Rob Blagojevich. Oh, and
he was doing the talk show circuit for a minute there, wasn't
he? Was on Celebrity Apprentice.
Oh my god. This guy, he fucking runs down our street all the time, you know? So I go for a walk every day at the same time. Oh, no. Every day, this fucking guy is running down like Lincoln and Leland. You know, he turns left on Leland there, going east. And he's just always looking around like everybody's fucking looking for him, you know? Like, nobody's looking for you.
I'm not.
Yeah, nobody.
Nobody gives a shit about you anymore, bro.
Yeah, nobody.
I just cares. WBEZ did a great podcast about him. I can't remember the title, but it's an 8-part series just about the whole story, and he is bonkers.
Yeah.
Yep.
All those politicians are, man. Like, so obsessed with power, especially if you're a governor, because, like, you're kind of your own little king, you know?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And everyone hates you.
Right. You can never do anything.
There's no governor where everyone's like, you know what? I fucking really like this governor.
Right. Yeah. Like, for example, Gavin Newsom was going to be the hot shit a couple years ago. Now everybody fucking hates his guts because he...
And everyone's like, fuck you! Or, yeah. Andy Beshear in Kentucky, you know, like everyone was like super into the way he did the COVID stuff. He's like a Democrat and, you know, everybody's real liberal guy in Kentucky. So everybody was like, go get him, Andy. And then he said, did one thing to agree with Republicans. And they were like, fuck you, traitor.
Yep.
Everyone has to find some way to agree sooner or later.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
Yeah. You can't please everyone.
Because it's not like the Civil War where it was South versus the North. Everybody lives on the same fucking street. You know?
Yeah. Right?
It's like not like I can be in Vermont and fucking hate everyone in Mississippi. Right. You know?
Like the crazy shit that happened in Oregon today.
What happened in Oregon?
A bunch of fucking Proud Boys and Oath Keepers or whatever, Patriot something. They kicked down the door of the Oregon house building to try to get into a legislative session, and they were all carrying guns, and the cops had a bottleneck situation where they managed to push these guys away. Yeah, they're all strapped. Yeah, it's crazy, man.
Were they strapped and like carrying them or strapped? Holy shit.
Can I also say all these groups, the Proud Boys and the Oath Keepers and all that shit, they all sound like people who decided they're going to be virgins until they're married.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like if somebody was like, I'm a Proud Boy, I'd be like, oh, so you're like, you're not going to. So you're kind of gay.
So you got a ring.
My thing is, it's like, let's say that you just succeed and you get into this thing and you actually turn the government over. Right. What now? What then? What happens next? Like, what are you going to establish?
Right. And they'll be like, and now Chet is king. And Chet's like, yeah.
Until the next day when everyone's like, Chet, you're not doing so good, man.
Yeah. Chet, why do you keep agreeing with those libtards?
What do you mean I need to report to you before I go to take my bathroom break? That's against my freedom. I want Bob to be the new king of Oregon.
Bob, get over here.
Yeah. Come on, Bob.
And you Bob's like, everyone should wear seatbelts. And everyone's like, fuck you, Bob.
God damn it, Bob.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, oh Bob's like, you know, COVID is actually a real disease. Ah!
Yeah, he's like, I had it last week.
Ah!
Yeah. Oh my God.
It was man. Made by George Soros, fuck. But it is real.
Oh, ah! My God. Oh, my God. Oh, my God. All I can say.
Fuck him.
Oh my God. Well, look, man, since we're off of the Shaka Khan vibe, this is my only beef about the whole vaccine thing, man, is that, like, even though New Zealand is only the size of like New York State, they still controlled the shit and they did what they needed to do to make sure that people could survive. They gave people provisions to survive so that they could get through it as quickly as possible without a miracle intervention, right?
Yeah.
They did what they needed to do to logically prevent the virus from thriving in an environment of people,
yeah.
Right? That's what you needed to do. And our government couldn't facilitate that. And so they pulled off this miracle thing. And honestly, it just makes me mad.
Yeah.
Because we shouldn't have, like, we shouldn't get that grace, right? We don't deserve that fucking grace right now to get this miracle because we didn't do what we were supposed to do. The country, you know, the government is supposed to take care of the people. That's why we put them there.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And they didn't take care of people,
right.
Clearly. And so now I hate all this bullshit where everyone's like, well, you got to give Trump credit. You got to credit the administration. No. No, you don't. Fuck yeah. Those guys.
Yeah.
Also,
they
what they really did
up.
Was they, like, they took out every actual regulation that's in place for everyone's safety to make this vaccine.
Right.
And if there weren't people who are used to, like, you know, or who were concerned about their own money, there would be
yeah.
all kinds of fucking nonsense. We would all be taking bleach and shit like that.
Yeah.
If it was up to the administration, you know?
Yeah, they don't give a damn. They don't give a damn.
They'd be like, you know what kills this virus? Fire.
Local fire eaters. I've been dispatched.
Yeah, we came up with a way to shoot fire right into your veins.
Right inside.
The thing is,
these carny folks.
This was all a planned thing because all they want to do really is leave a pile of shit for the Biden administration to have to deal with for the next.
I guess.
Next
I guess.
Year or so.
You know what? I don't even think they're that smart, dude. I don't even think they're that bright.
They may not be.
Maybe not.
But they're definitely leaving them a pile of shit.
Yeah. I think it just goes to support. This whole thing has been an example of A, what knowledge of law and politics contributes to the, you know, viability of a politician. Like, you need somebody who understands all the laws and the way things work, right?
Yeah.
You need someone who has studied, you know, civics and, you know, dealing with community relations and diplomacy, precisely, right? Like, those are actual skills. And so we had the businessman experiment, and we had the no government doesn't equal small government proof. Like, that has been proofed now. Like, small government at a national level doesn't work because the independent states need support because there are things that are beyond our control that we need a bigger authority to say, this is what everyone needs to do right now, especially in a country this big. Like I said, New Zealand, I think, is about equal in space and population to, like, New York State. I think that's the analogy, right? Something like that.
I was going
to
say, like, and Florida, but yeah, probably the same shit.
Maybe, yeah, I'm not sure. I forget the numbers now, but I just remember that being the analogy. And so I always, like, think about that and then look how horribly, you know, wrong things have gone in New York, even though things were good and it's up and down. And now you look at Britain, the shit is mutating. So it's like, who gives a fuck about a vaccine that you made if you got to make a new vaccine now, bro? We still got to fucking cover up space, all the shit that that we knew, but right. We didn't do. We knew it and we didn't do it. And so we blew it. That should be the fucking bumper sticker right there. I mean, god damn, it's infuriating. But hey, you're listening to the Game show stuff on the Radio Misfits Podcast Network, where we always have lots of fun.
Hey,
yeah. So maybe it's now a good time to talk about the news.
Well, I wanted to right before.
Andy loves to just fuck up the crew. Hey, we're going to be coming up with the news here in a minute. But first, Johnny Mo. Now what, Andy?
I just wanted to do a brief between.
Breaking news!
Before we
that's what you got to do for now. And hold that thought and then just break in with your own, like.
Before we got to the news, I just wanted to give you guys a little update on the Hallmark Christmas movie world.
Oh, fantastic.
And just to keep you guys abreast of what movies we have coming down the pipeline before Christmas comes.
Well, that could be part of the news. That could be the entertainment segment. Why don't you do the entertainment segment?
You're right. I'll do that. We'll get to that after the news. That's when they save all the sugary sweet stuff. First, you have to have your meat before you have any pudding, as they say. Yeah. Pink Floyd song.
Johnny Mo is the meat and Andy Laufer is the pudding.
Everybody knows.
Yep.
Everybody fucking knows.
Well, take it away, meat.
Oh, I love it.
And welcome to the news, everybody.
Thank you.
Thank you.
First story of the night. Santa got ran over by a light pole.
Whoa, sounds painful.
Santa found himself a little more tied up than usual this time of year. A Northern California man impersonating Santa Claus and flying on a powered parachute was rescued Sunday after became entangled in power lines. The incident happened shortly after the man took off near a school in Rio Linda, California, to deliver candy canes to children in his community. Creepy. He flew into a maze of power lines and wound up suspended in them, according to the FAA. The man, who wasn't identified... The man.
I would just, if it was me, I would slink out of there and be like, please don't call the FAA. It's going to turn into a whole fucking thing.
The man who wasn't identified was not injured. A video from the rescue shows that the red, white, and blue aircraft dangling overhead as Santa sat fastened to the pilot seat. Neighbors watched from the ground as the crews worked to get him free. Colleen Buselman, who lives nearby, said the pilot flies overhead often. Quote, he flies just around so people can see and flies around people's houses, she said. Quote, this is the first time he was in his Santa suit.
Hey-o. Although, hold on. What's this broad's name again? Colleen Buselman? You can't trust anybody named Buselman.
While that guy was running away before he got identified, he was like, please don't talk to Colleen. That bitch thinks she knows everything.
She's been waiting for a moment like this.
Yeah.
Buselman?
She's been prepping for me to fail for a long time.
Fucking Colleen Buselman.
Power was shut off during the rescue to about 200 customers in the Rio Lindo area.
Wait, what was he in again?
He was in a powered parachute. So like one that has a propeller in the back.
Jesus. You know what? The rise of people doing idiotic solo things like this is really going to go up a bunch.
Yeah.
Now that everybody's learned that they can live with themselves and act just as fucking crazy as they want to, and it has no bearing on society anymore.
Yeah.
It's just gonna be endless people in jet-powered parachutes.
Oh, God.
And this is from a quote from the fire district spokesman, Chris Vestal. Quote, "It's unfortunate, but we all need to remember that there's still a lot of good out there in the world. There are people doing good things, and to look at the brightness of the holiday season." He said it didn't take long.
Shut up.
What the fuck? Why are you even talking?
We're not asking you about the holiday season, sir.
Are you basically saying that he did a good thing by getting tangled, like almost killing himself in this fucking
You know what? Line? If I want your opinion on the holiday season, I'll ask you.
Exactly.
We're asking about parachute guy over here.
Congress has called this testimony from the FAA. Please.
Maybe
this holiday season.
What do you think about the holidays?
Maybe the fact that this guy wasn't identified means that he was actually like Vestal's brother or something like that. Like his
Yeah. No, he got away. All shifty-eyed like that.
Yep. All right.
But the holiday season, I think, is something we're all interested in.
Yeah, I didn't see this bad thing that you're talking about that happened over here, but check out all this good stuff that's going on over here. Have you seen these guys? Look at this person doing an act of kindness.
Colleen's
this person's
here.
Being selfless over here. Yeah. There's some altruism happening over here.
Miss Boozleman made the sugar cookies everyone likes.
Boozleman!
All
Thank
right.
you, Johnny.
Absolutely.
I love it.
A green Christmas.
It makes me want to find some weed.
A man claiming to be Santa Claus was arrested when police discovered him giving away stocking stuffers at a local Buffalo Wild Wings restaurant.
What kind of stocking stuffers?
Police booked the apparently well-intentioned but clueless Randy Lang, 57, on charges of, quote, furnishing marijuana after the man allegedly entered the sports bar carrying a duffel bag packed with 2 pounds of Christmas cheer, which he then began doling out among patrons.
Nice! There really is a Santa!
Yep. Lang entered the restaurant and began approaching customers, declaring that he was Santa Claus, not simply some dime a dozen imposter, and handing them chunks of ganja wrapped in napkins.
Nice.
Napkin weed.
Yep.
It's like make you a plate. It's like a black family reunion, you know? And they make you a plate with
two paper plates sandwiched together around a bunch of food, like rubber banded together.
Yeah.
With some or like wrapped up in some foil.
Right.
Dripping. It's delicious.
Right before you
That's
hit the
what
beer tap.
Except with weed. It's like get you I some. Love Come on
I
now.
Love that.
Lang That's even stuffed a large amount of the substance in the bar's tip jar before cops caught up with him.
Nice. He is a saint. I mean, that's Saint Nick right there.
I would honestly run up to him and say, "Hey, Santa!" I would take it.
Yeah, hook me up.
What state?
This was in Monterey, California.
Yeah, all right. Legal there, so what do they go with?
Yeah,
it's not even that big of a deal.
I mean, even if the cops catch up to you, they're like, "Oh, we got you." So we can't really arrest you for this. So anyway,
bye.
Have it. Season's greetings.
Exactly.
Season's weedings.
Hey-o.
Next story. Snakes!
Ah!
No!
Oh!
Come on!
Are you dreaming of a slithery snake-filled Christmas?
Oh my God.
Donald Legast Jr. was when he was charged with stealing 3 snakes and a cash register from a Louisiana pet store.
Whoa.
The owner of Delta Pets in Slidell summoned police after noticing that the store's door had been pried open and a $600 python and 2 boas were missing, according to the Times-Picayune. Police canvassed the area and located a vacant building with a makeshift bed, 3 snakes, and a jail ID card with Legast's name on it inside.
Oh.
Wow, that's clumsy. You don't ever leave the crib without your ID. Even your prison ID.
Yeah, especially. Especially now.
I mean, if that's the only ID you got, you got to have it on you.
You got to have
it.
And keep it in your prison wallet, too.
That's right.
quote, aggressive detective work was not required to determine that the three snakes were the same reptiles missing from Delta Pets, Detective Daniel Cisno told the New Orleans paper. Yeah.
If somebody was stealing snakes, they'd be like, bye.
Yeah.
Bye, snakes. Don't come back.
Yeah. Fuck you. $600 or not. Go.
Yeah, get out.
Couldn't even use your prison credit card to buy those.
Yeah. Buy them with your cigarettes.
Your poopy cigarettes.
Sounds like a consenting asshole.
Yes.
Wait, like, oh, it's changed. He's gonna like 38.
Oh my god!
And for the last story of the night,
huh?
Iron crotch.
Oh, sounds like a kick in the balls.
Wang Lute is no ordinary kung fu master. The 65-year-old from a village in central China practices a unique and excruciatingly looking strand of martial arts coined Iron Crotch Kung Fu.
Oh, yep.
Its most famous technique involves a steel plate-capped log, 2 meters in length, and weighing 88 pounds, that swings through the air and smashes into a man's crotch.
Come on!
Oh.
Well, when
Who's
you practice
carrying a 6-foot piece of steel?
Yeah. Yeah. He thinks he's the fucking Mandalorian, man.
This is a real specific kind of martial arts. If you met an iron crotch karate master on the street, or, you know, in a dark alley, you'd be like, "What are you gonna do? You don't have fucking your big pipe to hit me in the balls, fuckface."
Just set up your ball catapult, your upside down catapult, crotch catapult.
Wang Luan would not do well in like an MMA fight against like boxers, kickers and shit. And they were like, oh, he's carries around this pole and kicks dudes in the dick with it.
The story gets weirder, believe me. Quote,
oh, really?
When you practice iron crotch kung fu, as long as you push yourself, you will feel great, said Wang, head of the Juntun Martial Arts Academy. Wang.
I hope you didn't mispronounce that, racist.
Sorry. Canceled. Wang.
I will be live tweeting your cancellation, Johnny, if you mess up that name. If you talk about Wang Dang Poontang.
There's so many cancelable items in every one of our shows.
Certainly.
I think they cancel each other out.
Nice. Neutral. Nice. Wang, who has been practicing the technique for around half a century, and...
Oh my god.
It's too long. Too long.
And has 2 children. Insists that with the correct methods and sufficient practice, it does not hurt and has no effect on fertility.
Ooh.
Really know how to sell it.
Yeah.
All right.
The iron crotch, mastery of which is gained by taking hits to the body's weakest points while using Qigong breathing techniques to inure oneself, is just one element of the branch of kung fu that has been practiced in Wang's village for the past 300 years.
So wait a second. He gets kicked in the dick? I thought he was doing the kicking.
No, he gets a thing, like a big metal
How
pipe.
How is that a sport? How is he good at that?
It's a discipline. It's not a sport.
Right.
There's a difference.
Oh. So it's like therapeutic to just have somebody knee you in the balls over and over again with iron?
Well, let me get to that.
Okay.
It builds the endurance.
Yes.
I'm sure he's got a big calloused mound where his scrotum should be. It's all scar tissue. It's all scarred up over the years.
Looks like a couple of old walnuts.
But giant.
Giant walnuts.
So the style encompasses scores of attack techniques as well as resisting pressure, pain, or hits to other sensitive areas. Quote, we also have iron throat, iron head, iron chest, and iron back as well. The style of kung fu practiced by those in this village on the outskirts of Luang was historically a fiercely guarded secret. But concern has grown that fewer and fewer people...
It was a secret.
It was a secret. Hey, we got to keep this a secret.
Don't tell anybody.
Don't tell anybody. We're in this town just banging each other in the nuts all day.
Kicking me in the balls repeatedly. What happens in ball kicking club stays in ball kicking club.
What? It's like you got a couple of overcooked scones for nuts.
Oh.
All lumpy and broken.
Concern has grown.
Oh, Lordy.
Concern has grown that fewer and fewer people were taking it up and it might not survive.
The lost art of nut smashing.
There were once around 200 people regularly practicing in the village. But now they're just over 20. The number that can practice the iron crush technique has dropped from around 80 to just 5.
Dying.
That's why Wang...
Sounds like a cult.
Yeah, it sounds like a cult. That's why Wang and his fellow masters started to actively promote their style of kung fu, adopting the swinging log device in 2016 to demonstrate the iron crush technique, where previously villagers had kicked, punched, or used bricks or sticks.
I'm sick of throwing bricks at your nuts.
Yeah. We need something to really give it some pizzazz.
Yeah. Even goddamn gorillas can use sticks.
Their efforts have helped them gain several new students in cities across the country who learn using social media or custom-made videos posted online. They're using tutorials. I love it.
Sure, sure.
Amazing.
You know, this young generation isn't going to just get into the normal punching and kicking in the crotch. Yeah. You got to really jazz it up for them.
No. Also, they all want a participation trophy. You know?
Yeah. So you got to make a pendulum
right.
out of a log. Right. You got to have a rafter or a branch or something that you tie a rope around.
It's got to have a GoPro on it because they have to live snap it.
Yep, yep. It's going to be TikToking and critch crotching and whatever it is. But it's got to be, you know, you got to spice it up for these young kids.
You got to capture the imagination, right?
Also, you can't give the stick pronouns. It's just we. We call the stick we.
Oh, my God.
Uh-huh. Yep.
Wang says, quote, if there are more students will carry it forward and spread it to the whole country and the world, if they can carry this form of kung fu forward, then my dream will come true. This guy's awesome.
Everybody needs a dream. Yeah. That's a focused dream.
Yeah. Very specific. Very, very specific. I want my iron crotch to live forever.
Said Mr. Wang.
Mr. Wang. Yeah.
I just watched a documentary about the Hail Bop.
I need to see that. I want to see that.
The white Nikes.
Yeah.
Heaven's Gate.
Yep.
Yeah, is that called Cult of Cults or something?
Some shit, yeah. You know what it's called? Dude, when they started, they had more than 200 people.
Mm-hmm.
So this iron crotch business has been around for fucking a half a century.
You know, it takes time.
Yeah.
For a movement to really get momentum. You know, it starts with just that single step.
That single kick to the balls.
1,000 miles.
When you watch that that documentary, they were like, this guy was like a gay musical theater teacher and he met some librarian and they were like, let's do a thing where we're say that we're space people and then a spaceship's going to come get us on a comet. And then they were like set up a bunch of shit in Oregon, of course.
Yeah.
Which Oregon. Oregon's like New Florida, by the way.
Yeah.
Sure.
And they just put out a bunch of fucking flyers on phone poles and shit. And then, sure enough, there's 1,000 people that are like, I want to in on this spaceship thing.
Yeah, I like spaceships. Jesus.
Spaceship? Oh, I'm in.
Fuck yeah. In a heartbeat.
And that, my friends, was the news.
Thank you, Johnny. Thank you.
The news goes.
Well, let's do some entertainment news while we're here.
Yeah, yes. And now for our entertainment corner, Andy Loffer.
So I thought... Thank you so much. I thought I came up with a plan that I thought I'd ask you guys about. So there's a whole lot of new Hallmark movies. If you're not familiar, Hallmark Christmas movies, they come out two a weekend, every weekend for 2 months leading up. To make that kind of movies, that amount of movies, you really have to put a lot of quality into them, obviously.
Okay. Sure.
Also, the storylines need to differ wildly.
Yeah.
So, 39 new Hallmark Christmas movies came out this year.
Wow.
That's a lot. So I wanted to read you a few of them and the plot lines of a few of them, and then I thought we could assign ourselves a chance to each, we'll pick one together. And then we'll split up and we'll watch it separately. And then on the next show, we'll do a big group review of it.
I'm into it.
All right, let's do it. Let's hear your plot.
Does that sound fun? Does everyone have access to a Hallmark Channel movie?
Oh,
I will figure it out if I have.
Okay, good. All right, so I'm just going to give you a few to choose from. Okay? So I'll give you the name and then I'll give you a little synopsis. Okay.
We're waiting with bated breath.
All right, let's start.
Hanging on every word.
Let's start with Jingle Bell Bride. A wedding planner ends up in a remote Alaskan town and falls in love with its Christmas pageantry, as well as a local man helping her find a rare flower.
All right, that one's called what again?
Jingle Bell Bride. How do we feel about that one?
What's
sounds
fucking stupid.
It sounds kind of stupid, but what's the? How is it associated with this flower at the end? What is
I can't even hear you, Jazz.
Oh, sorry.
There's some crazy.
What does it say about a? Yeah, I was playing some Hallmark music.
For you guys. Okay, sorry. I thought you like some car outside.
Yeah.
With the radio on loud.
Yeah, my open window.
Yeah. Yeah, everyone comes up outside my building in the alley bumping like John Philip Sousa music and shit. Fucking bananas, man. Sometimes it'd be like Brahms.
Brahms. Is this a Flugel song?
Like, holy shit, man, is this Seven Brides for Seven Brothers?
Can I hear a single song without a flugelhorn in it, man? I'm tired of that stuff. Anyway, what was the connection to the flower at the end of Jingle Bell Bride?
We don't know. She falls in love in a remote Alaskan town. She falls in love with the Christmas pageantry as well as with a local man who's helping her find a rare flower.
Okay, so she's like a botanist?
No, she's a wedding,
planner, Jazz. Jesus Christ.
Oh, wedding planner. Good okay, you're
God.
Right. Sorry.
Good God.
Fucking
when I
botanist.
Hear rare flowers, I assume... that it's going to be like, you know, the heart-shaped thing from Wakanda.
All right, our next one is Chateau Christmas.
Ooh. Okay.
An acclaimed pianist rediscovers her passion for music while spending the holidays with an ex at Chateau Neuhaus in Germany.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
It's an acclaimed pianist.
Uh-huh. Mm-hmm.
I'm sure
okay, the next
pianist
one
is acclaimed as well.
Yeah. He said, I wanted a 12-inch pianist.
Wouldn't it be funny, since it's in Germany, that it ends up devolving into some weird, crazy German porn?
Yeah. Yeah, and then she's like, shit on my chest.
Give me the Ava Braun.
He shows up in a gimp mask.
Yeah. All right, next we have One Royal Holiday. A woman unexpectedly takes the royal family of Galwick during a storm, where she teaches them her Christmas rituals.
What, is she a witch?
I don't know. Yeah. This next one is my front runner.
Okay.
On the 12th date of Christmas, a pair of game designers butt heads while creating a romantic urban scavenger hunt themed around the 12 days of Christmas.
That could be fun. That could be fun.
Yeah.
Now, the people that star in these movies, they're like not big stars, obviously, right?
No, they're Canadians. They're like Canadian studio actors. It's the same people in every movie.
Got it.
You know, like every once in a while, you'll see like the lead will change or something, or like the woman who's like moving to a small town in this movie is the best friend in this next movie.
Right. You see how it works, Jazz? That's how it works in Canada.
Yeah.
I'm starting to understand it. It was a little hard for me to comprehend initially, and now it's really sinking in. It's really taking hold in my brain.
Next, never kiss a man in a Christmas sweater.
That's the title
of the
movie?
That's definitely the best title. That's the best title.
A single mother takes in an unexpected guest over Christmas, and the two quickly form a strong connection.
Alternate title? Consenting Asshole.
Yeah. Or The Last House on the Left, where she takes in an unexpected guest and is brutally murdered.
Jesus.
How about Christmas with the Darlings? An aspiring lawyer winds up helping her boss's younger brother care for his orphan nieces and nephews over the holidays. Blech.
Yeah, fuck those orphans.
Yeah, no.
I don't want to hear any goddamn orphan fucking stories anymore. Those are so played the fuck out.
If I've said it once, I've said it a million times. If I see an orphan, I'm going to set its fucking face on fire.
It's awesome.
Coming in next is Christmas in Vienna.
Ooh.
A professional violinist rediscovers her passion for music while performing in Vienna.
So it's not actually shot in Vienna, though, right?
No, it's shot in some weird house in Canada.
They made a soundstage at the Vienna Beef Place. Over
yeah. You're like, it says Vienna like everywhere in here.
Hey, look at these murals on the fucking wall. Man, it looks like Vienna to me.
Holy
Let's
shit.
Do it.
Hey.
Play the violin.
How about this one? A Timeless Christmas.
Mm.
This one stars a girl that I dated in college.
Really?
Just so you know. Yeah. Ooh. A man time travels from the turn of the 20th century all the way to 2020 and experiences Christmas at the historic mansion he once called home.
Okay. That could be all right. It'd be interesting to see a movie with somebody you know.
Yeah. What's the actor's name?
I don't want to say.
Oh, okay. Like, I couldn't fucking just Google it. Okay. Be a dick about it, Andy. What's the next movie?
A Nashville Christmas Carol.
Nashville.
In Canada.
I've been mostly writing down where these take place.
That one's starring Winona Judd.
Oh. Why not? Wow.
Inspired by the Charles Dickens classic, this is the story of a TV producer working on a country music special who gets a visit from the ghost of her mentor. Okay, the appearance forces her to reconsider her life path.
Jesus. Like she meets the undead Johnny Cash.
Right. Yeah. Or like Waylon Jennings.
Right. Y'all gonna end up like me. You're not careful.
Like, for Christmas, we're doing heroin. Fucking killing hobos.
Andy, I don't know why you're embarrassed to have dated Ryan Pavey, who starred as a dancer in Christina Aguilera's Your Body music video.
What's her last name again?
Famous. His name is Ryan Pavey.
Oh, Ryan Pavey. Got it.
Yeah, and he started modeling in high school, and he's got a few breaks.
This is the guy that you dated, Andy?
2012.
Yep, that's him.
Awesome. He's a good looking dude.
On his IMDb page, it says he appeared in Christina Aguilera's Your Body music video, which shows Aguilera taking control against a male-dominated society.
Nice, bro.
That's in his bio on IMDb, so that when you go to watch the video, you're not as appalled by him being spanked and violated. He's
celebrating his white male body.
Butthole.
So he's also,
she pegs him.
He's also
she pegs him in the video. You didn't know that? Ryan Pavey got pegged in the video? Your old boyfriend, Danny?
He got straight pegged.
He also has starred in Christmas movies Christmas at the Plaza.
There you go.
Let's see.
Hope Christmas on the Ranch. Christmas. Home at Christmas.
Four Bells Dead for Girls.
Christmas. Four Dead Girls. My favorite Christmas movie.
You know, he did a debut on
Unleashing Mr. Darcy
back in 2014. You know, this guy's gotten around. You shouldn't be ashamed, Anderson.
I'm not. You're right. Okay, this next one stars Treat Williams.
Ooh,
hey, I love that guy.
Yeah, that guy's awesome.
About time we got a little A-list celebrity action around here.
Yeah, Treat Williams.
The Christmas House. Okay. A family at a crossroads reconnects over Christmas, all facing their own challenges. One son is waiting on adoption news for him and his husband, while another rekindles a high school flame.
Man, no more orphans, man. I don't want to hear about adoptions or orphans. None of that shit.
Too much with the orphans. This is Christmas.
Fuck that.
Christmas is the time to forget about all the needy people and worry about ourselves.
Yeah, that's right. That's right. How fortunate I am.
Yeah.
All right. A Christmas tree grows in Colorado. A woman planning a Christmas celebration must convince a firefighter to let her spruce his tree up for the festivities.
Spruce?
Oh, boy.
Spruce tree?
In Colorado?
Whoa. All right, go ahead. What's next?
We got a couple more here. We have Good Morning Christmas. This is my second runner-up.
Okay.
A pair of adversarial TV show hosts are sent to cover Christmas festivities in this small town, discovering that they may not be enemies after all.
Ooh. What's that one called again?
That's called Good Morning Christmas.
Good Morning Christmas now.
I think that's definitely a strong possibility.
Yeah, that's a favorite.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah.
Yeah. The Good Morning Christmas nom and the 12th date of Christmas.
And then finally, we have a Lacey Chabert entry, which we have not had any Lacey Chabert movies so far.
Oh, okay.
Why is that important?
Lacey?
Lacey Chabert, if you're not familiar with Lacey Chabert, she was the original Meg Griffin on Family Guy.
Oh, wow.
And she got cast, and then she immediately left it because it was too dirty.
Wow.
And she didn't get along with anyone. And she gave up Family Guy after one season to focus on Lifetime and Hallmark movies.
Yeah, she was kind of cute.
Yeah, and she gave up $1 million an episode to be on idiot Hallmark movies.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Well,
but Andy, the art, though.
So I like to, every year, at least see one Lacey Chabert movie to be like, really? This is what you decided to do instead of working 4 hours a year?
Yeah.
For like $30 million.
Yeah.
Good for you.
So you can buy your house in Canadian dollars.
And really I also love on Family Guy where every once in a while they make a Lacey Chabert joke.
Yeah.
Because I'm like, oh, fuck you, Lacey Chabert.
They dig it in. Well, hey, you know, Lacey Chabert's loss is Mila Kunis's gain. And
certainly.
Mila Kunis's gain is all of our gain.
Just the hottest ever.
Yeah, she's incredible. Hot. Yeah, this Lacey Chabert,
that's what makes her hot.
She's real good looking,
honestly.
Yeah.
Well, she was on All My Children, all right? So she's had money for a while, dude.
Yeah, wasn't she like some kind of child star?
Yeah. Well, you know what? We are getting to a section where we do have a few more. You know what? I'm going to skip the Lacey Chabert one. I'll give you a Lacey Chabert one, and then I'll give you one more.
Okay.
Okay.
We don't get to hear all of the names and log lines of all of the Hallmark Christmas movies this year.
Oh my God, it would be 10 hours of us sitting here talking about
it. As an aside, I have to mention that Lacey was also in the Christian Mingle movie.
Oh.
Yikes.
So.
What a disaster.
Yeah.
Christmas Waltz.
Okay.
A woman grapples with the cancellation of her Christmas dream wedding, and a dance teacher helps her pick up the pieces.
And by pick up,
yeah,
mean
he picked me up like a six pack.
Pieces, we mean her vagina.
Yeah, that's right. He picks her up like a six pack, like one thumb in the butt, middle finger right in the box.
That's right. Jesus.
Then he bowls a strike.
All right, I'll give you two more. One is we wouldn't be doing a good thing if we left out a Hanukkah option.
Yeah.
Yes.
Love Lights Hanukkah, starring Ben Savage and Mary Lou Henner.
Ben Savage.
Hey, Mary Lou Henner, love her.
The restaurant owner discovers she's actually Jewish and connects to her new family over the 8 nights of Hanukkah.
Chanukah? Have you guys seen the
yeah, Bogey hilarious, Robin? Dude. Yeah. Hilarious.
I don't know what Chanukah is, but whatever it is, I hope it's a lovely time for you. Oh my God. Did you see Chris Redd do his Smokey Robinson?
It was so good, dude.
Yeah.
Oh my God.
Yeah.
It was amazing. Beautiful. That episode of SNL was really great. They did a really good job with that one.
It was good. It was good. Yeah. That Chris Redd thing, I was like, this is a little bit of a stretch for a whole like fucking monologue for Smokey Robinson, but it ended up being okay.
Yeah.
He did it. He finessed it too, because it was like he was really giving him the business, but then he was also kind of empathizing with him a little bit too. Like, it was walked the line very nicely. I liked Chris Redd a lot.
And our last option is Christmas She Wrote, starring
Mystery?
The very first love of my life, and probably your guys too, Danica McKellar.
Yeah. No. I follow Winnie her Cooper on Facebook. She's really something.
Yeah.
And when you said the first love of your life and all of ours too, I thought you were going to say Angela Lansbury. Because she was so fucking hot and Murder She Wrote. I mean, as soon as you said Christmas She Wrote, I immediately thought of Angela Lansbury and, like, got a total fucking stiffy.
Yeah. I tell you what, Angela Lansbury, she runs so hot, you put your hand, like, even 5 feet away from your box, and it's burning up.
She's a dynamo. She's a sexual
dynamo.
Well,
you know what they say about, that's what they say about English women, you know, it's just the deal.
Yep. She is just always self-lubricating.
So
in her grave.
Oh God.
By the by.
Yeah, but that's why we keep her spirit alive. When we jerk it to
Man, Angela Lansbury was so hot, even though she's been dead 10 years, that pussy's still wet. I love the idea that that affects someone's hotness. Like how moist their genitals are.
Oh my God. I'm fucking crying.
Oh my God. That would hit me right in the jejunum.
Oh my God. Oh my God.
Yeah.
Oh, that's fantastic.
Oh my God.
Oh my God.
Oh, Jesus. Oh
man.
Messed up.
Yeah.
Oh man, this makes me so hot. Oh, yeah.
Murder,
give Angela. Murderize.
Get in there.
Oh, yeah. Peg me, Angela.
Yeah, slide right in.
Like it's Lady Lansbury.
My consenting asshole.
Quick, sign this paper.
Oh, my God.
Oh, my God.
Christmas, she wrote. A romance writer's column is canceled, and she returns home to spend Christmas with her family. Unexpectedly. Oh, there's a conflict.
Oh, no.
What if that was it? A romance writer's column is canceled, and she returns home. The end. Okay. Unexpectedly, the man responsible for the end of her column pursues her romantically.
Oh.
Real cat and mouse.
Arrival. Turned lover.
Enemies become friends. Friends become enemies. So what do you think? Man.
Wow.
The reporter thing. Yeah, the two reporters thing sounds good. And then I'll take that Lacey, one of those Lacey Chabert films would be all right.
The dancing one.
Yeah, the dancing one.
So you're saying Good man. Morning Christmas or... Christmas Waltz.
I'm thinking Good Morning Christmas.
All right, my vote is for... I got one vote for 12th Date with the Urban Scavenger Hunt. And as much as I want to see Never Kiss a Man in a Christmas Sweater, I think my other vote would be for... Oh, man. So many exotic places. You know, there's Vienna, Nashville, Colorado. I mean, so many really wonderful places.
Places to visit.
You could go with your, you know, your virtual vacation time. But I'm going to, I think Good Morning Christmas sounds more interesting because of the great room for all the conflict and hijinks. You know, when selecting a Christmas movie, I opt for higher levels of hijinks.
Yes,
you know what I'm saying?
Extreme conflict.
Yes.
Yeah.
Like this war-torn Rwanda, you know, would be a really good place for a rom-com.
Like if Sam Shepard wrote a Hallmark movie.
Yeah.
Okay, well, my votes are for the 12th Date of Christmas, the scavenger hunt one, and then also... Good Morning Christmas. So it looks like we have a winner.
All right. Is it going to be Good Morning Christmas?
We're watching Good Morning Christmas.
Woo! And tonight everybody wins on the game show, Show and Stuff. Because we all have our hearts full of Christmas cheer and Hallmark movies on our Netflix queue.
Yeah.
So it looks like we're going to have to figure out a way to watch Good Morning Christmas sometime this week.
Okay. I think
I might just go watch it right now. I might go watch all 20 of these movies.
You know what? I'm not going to lie. I've probably seen 15 Hallmark Christmas movies this year so far.
And not because Nikki likes them. It's because you actually enjoy them.
I enjoy them. Nikki actually sits there and is like, I fucking hate that we're watching this. She gets like super pissed off, you know. But me and Nikki's mom both really like them. So we sit there and watch them. And two verse one. It's
shut up, Nikki. Shut the fuck up.
And I'm sure he must placate her. I'm sure he's like, just spoon me, babe. And then you can finger my consenting butthole.
Yeah.
You know what it's like? You know what a Hallmark movie is like? It's like, it's like if every movie was a different dish in the world, right?
Sure.
And you could go to a place, maybe a buffet, and you see a bunch of dishes out, and you could be like, can I try that? Maybe I'll like it, and maybe I won't like it, right? But if you see, like for me, a Liam Neeson movie is like prime rib, right? So like, I'm always going to get a Liam Neeson movie, no matter what, if it comes out, whenever it comes out. Hallmark Christmas movies are like vanilla pudding. It's really hard to fuck up vanilla pudding. But also, you're not going to be surprised and nothing exciting is going to happen.
Right.
You know? So it's this trade-off of like, would I like to take my chances on something that's might be good and might not be good, or could I just have vanilla pudding every day? And then I won't grow or learn anything, but also I'll be full.
And you won't be disappointed.
You won't be disappointed. That's right.
There you go. You'll just be mildly satisfied.
Kind of like a...
Yeah. They'll be like, I could eat again.
Kind of like a tuna sub from Subway.
Hallmark Christmas movies are the tuna subs at Subway.
Got it.
It's like, this isn't delicious, but it's not awful.
Yeah, I've had worse things.
It kind of makes me feel okay.
Yeah.
It's edible.
And it's the same at every Subway.
And it's the same at every Subway.
Right. Yeah.
So there you go.
But no onions, though.
Yeah.
There you go. I'll make sure they know. Okay, so do we have time to do a little Christmas trivia in the show here?
Yeah, let's do it.
Let's do it. Let's do some Christmas trivia. All
right, let's do some let's do a round robin, and let's do it fast.
Word.
All right.
Does that sound good?
Yep.
Yeah.
Okay, I'm going to just start asking questions, and we'll go in order. You have 4 seconds to answer. Four, because that's how many thousand years there have been humans on Earth.
Okay. Interesting.
Mm-hmm.
That's a good formula for deciding your time factors.
Also, wildly incorrect.
Yeah.
How long should this be? The thousands of years that man has been on the planet, mistakenly, to my comprehension. You fucking what?
All right, are we ready?
Yep.
Yes, I am as ready as the Earth is flat.
Johnny, since you're wearing a hat, you go first.
Fantastic.
Who was the star of the Christmas movie Jingle All the Way?
That's Sinbad.
Okay, as the co-star, but I'll take Sinbad. That was also Jazz. Who tries to stop Christmas from coming by stealing all the Christmas from the Who's?
The Grinch.
Johnny, who is the star of the movie titled White Christmas?
Bing Crosby.
Who was the first the principal character in the novel A Christmas Carol? Jazz.
Oh, Ebenezer Scrooge?
Yeah, Ebenezer, that's right. Johnny, who was the author of A Christmas Carol?
Charles Dickens.
Excellent. Jazz, how many ghosts are there in A Christmas Carol?
Ghosts?
Yes. Ghosts?
Ghosts? Christmas past, Christmas present, and Christmas future? Three?
No, four. Jacob Marley also.
And of course, Jacob Marley. I forgot him.
Johnny, what's the name of the animated Christmas movie with Tom Hanks?
The fucking train. The Christmas.
Nope, that's incorrect.
Oh, shit.
The Polar Express.
Polar Express, yeah.
What made Frosty come to life in the movie Frosty the Snowman, Jazz?
His magic hat!
That's right. Why did the other reindeer pick on Rudolph, Johnny?
Because of his red nose.
That's right. Jazz, how many reindeer were there in the story Twas the Night Before Christmas?
8 tiny reindeer.
That's right. Jazz, yes. Johnny, who helped Rudolph after he left the North Pole?
The Island of Misfit Toys.
Can you be more specific?
No.
Hermie the Elf and Yukon Cornelius.
Right.
Jazz, what bad guy did Rudolph have to avoid?
What did they call him? The Abominable Snowman.
Johnny, who played George Bailey in It's a Wonderful Life?
Jimmy Hoffa. No, Jimmy Stewart.
Yes.
I thought he was just doing his Jimmy Stewart impersonation while he said Jimmy Stewart. I thought he was like,
Jimmy.
Stewart.
In your house. In your house.
There you go.
Jazz, who spies on kids and reports back to Santa?
Jazz.
Yeah. Elf on a Shelf.
That's right. Elf on a Shelf. That's right. Johnny, what toy has magical powers that go on a new adventure every night after the kids go to sleep?
What toy?
Yeah.
In what? In a movie or?
In real life.
Oh, in real life? I have no idea.
It's Elf on a Shelf again.
Great.
Jazz, why couldn't Ralphie have a BB gun in A Christmas Story?
Because you'll shoot your eye out.
That's right, that's right. What happens, Johnny, when you stick your wet tongue to a frozen pole?
It sticks there. It stays there.
Yes! Jazz, what were the names of the ghosts in A Christmas Carol?
It was Harry, Hortense, and Hector.
Oh, son of a bitch. It's Ghost of Christmas Past, Present, and Yet to Come.
Yeah, okay, okay.
What animated film depicted a train that took kids to the North Pole on Christmas Eve?
The Polar Express?
Yes. What does Santa say, Jazz, at the end of A Visit from St. Nicholas?
Merry Christmas to all, and may you all kiss my ass.
Very close. Actually, happy Christmas to all, and to all a good thing.
I know. Merry Christmas, kiss my ass, kiss his ass, kiss your ass.
Everybody kiss some ass. Johnny, we're switching over to foods. You ready?
Okay.
What milk-based beverage is available around the Christmas holidays?
Eggnog.
Yes. Jack, Stollen is a traditional fruitcake of which country?
What is it called?
Stollen?
It must be the traditional Christmas cake of Asgard.
Oh, there you go.
I feel like Jazz is throwing the game.
Yeah, I think he is.
I don't know. Just it's being creative with my wrongness.
Germany. Johnny, what name is given to small sausages wrapped in bacon?
Pigs in a blanket.
Yes.
Really?
The red and white costume of Father Christmas was allegedly first introduced by which drinks manufacturer, Jazz?
Coca-Cola?
Yes, that's correct. Good job.
I didn't know that. Père Noël had red and white all the time, man.
In which direction, Johnny, should you stir mincemeat for good luck?
Clockwise.
Yes. What would you stick into an onion when following a traditional bread sauce recipe, Jazz?
My dick.
That's just called a traditional dick onion.
Oh.
It's cloves.
Ah, I should have known, because I rub my dick with cloves first.
Yeah, you have smoked a couple clove cigarettes.
Yeah, it's very exfoliating.
Yeah, it's very 90s of you.
Mm-hmm.
A Swede is a cross between which two vegetables, Johnny?
A Swede is a cross between two. Oh, Jesus. A tomato and an onion.
I'm sorry. It's a cabbage and a turnip.
Tonight.
What's a female turkey called?
Your mom.
Nice.
Oh! It's actually called a jive. I'm just kidding. It's a hen.
A hen.
Johnny, what spirit is traditionally added to butter and served with Christmas pudding?
Bourbon.
Sorry, it's brandy.
Brandy! Close. You're a fine girl.
Jazz, true or false? Before turkey, the traditional English Christmas dinner included a pig's head smothered in mustard.
True.
That is true.
Yeah, it's a tie ball game. Look out.
It was called a traditional English mustard pig head.
Yeah, I knew that. It was my great aunt had that at Christmas all the time. There.
All right. And two more. Here we go. Visions of which sweet food stuff danced in children's heads as they slept, Johnny?
Not gumdrops. It's shit. I can't remember.
Sugar plum.
And Jack.
My girl calls my balls.
Yeah, bro.
Oh.
They be dancing on her head.
All right, Jazz, in Oaxaca, Mexico. Oaxaca. Yeah. Oaxaca.
It's pronounced Oaxaca.
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 Oaxaca. De Rabanos. It's celebrated every 23rd of December. What food gives the festival its name?
One more time.
Noche de Rabanos.
Noche de Rabanos. Rabanos is a pepper?
It's a radish.
Ah, it's a peppery root vegetable.
That's right. Tomorrow night is radish night in
Oaxaca.
Oaxaca.
Oaxaca. Oaxaca.
Well, there you go. Congratulations.
It's a tie, ladies and gentlemen. So once again, we're all winners here. And may you be a winner in the new year. That's my Christmas cheer for you, my dears.
All right, so you guys got a week to watch Good Morning Christmas.
Can do.
Okay.
And thanks for listening to our Christmas episode, and we will
see you next Tuesday.
Yeah.
All right, Ramblers, let's get rambling.
That's it. It's over. Show's over.
Let me get my shoes. What the f*** happened to my shoes? Right now.
All right, everybody, on your feet. Don't kneel for this. I'm just kidding. Yeah, Merry Christmas, guys.
Merry Christmas, guys.
Are you guys staying home?
I am.
Yeah, that's not bad. Uh-huh.
Always bring you that funny, 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 funny stuff. Funny, 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 funny stuff. Funny, 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 funny stuff. Funny, 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 funny.
I made the outro go for like ever.
Funny, 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 funny stuff.
Just in case anybody listens all the way to the end, like it changes. Like it started adding like one new thing. You guys don't even know.
Should we do?
Do you?
Can we do something funny next time where we do like they did with the last episode of Mandalorian, where we have like a teaser bit of audio? Do you know what I mean?
Oh. Sure.
So you have to wait until the credits are over to see.
Yeah, no, I mean, that's why I started adding it, stuff. I was like, well, if anybody ever just lets it play, like you ever been like listening to something and you want to go and turn it off and change it, but then you let it play and then there's some bonus shit at the end and you're like, oh, fuck, I should be listening all the way to the end. And then you get sucked in. So I was like, well, I'm going to keep adding. That's why there was like literally like an extra minute of stuff on the outro, just because I kept adding things just for fun. But yeah, that'd be cool. What sort of thing should it be? Something specific, like promoting another and stuff thing that we're doing? Like, you know, the Book of Johnny Moe.
Maybe.